I got my ego out of the way. And I'm like, there are people who are professional designers. There are people who are professional developers. There are people who are really good at what they do. And the way I can ruin this is if I get stuck on it being the way I think it should be when I'm not the professional.
Welcome to the How to Build an App podcast. We started this show to help app founders refine their idea, build insanely useful apps, scale it up, and change the world. This podcast is brought to us by you and your ideas. We fund this podcast from our full-service app development agency, Strides Development. When you're ready to build an amazing app, we can help you take it from idea to a finished app in a few months. Right now, we're offering a free strategy call to talk to you about your app and give some direction when it comes to building it. You can book your call at strides.dev. That's strides.dev.
Welcome back to How to Build an App. This week, we're sitting down with another founder of one of our earliest app builds. Doug Cartwright is the founder of The Daily Shifts, a personal development platform and a media company with an online course, workshop, personal coaching, and a mobile app. The Daily Shift app helps users build healthy daily habits with growth challenges, daily mindfulness prompts, and instructional tools. The idea came to Doug when he was going through kind of a rough patch in his own sales career, so he started doubling down on his own personal development. He noticed that the more he focused on meditation, eating healthy, and daily goal setting, he not only felt better, but his sales career started to really expand. So after developing his morning routine that worked really well for him and his sales team, he started to think about how it could really turn into a company. Then the idea hit him. It's a simple, intuitive, and beautiful app that people use each day to make small changes and small shifts in their life. And there, The Daily Shifts was born. In this episode of How to Build an App, we'll be walking you through the creation of the Daily Shifts app. We're actually super pumped to release this episode because Doug just launched his new book, Holy Shit, We're Alive. And Doug talks about how building his app let him expand his version of what his brand was. It turned into coaching, courses, events, and now a book.
Yeah, so I grew up here in Utah and was a part of Vivint Smart Home, which is one of the leading smart home companies in the country. And I did sales for them, managed multiple people across the country, and became the company sales trainer. And so my background is in sales. And so I grinded and went out and knocked doors and did door to door.
We all know about that.
Yeah. Knocked doors and did that for a long time. And I had like a dip in my career around 2015. I was like one of the top reps for a long time. And I just got worn down and beat up and got caught up in... Got caught up in burnout. And then I kind of had like a comeback. You know, 2015 had a down year. 2016 was kind of like my comeback year. Mm-hmm. And I took my personal development really serious that summer. I was, you know, got into meditation, got into goal setting, was really consistent with working out and eating healthy. And I saw a direct correlation to my sales. My sales went back up as well. And so I kind of found this really, really healthy morning routine that worked awesome. Mm-hmm. And I was reading a lot of books. I was watching a lot of YouTube videos. I was watching, you know, anyone in personal development space and kind of created this like schedule in a sense that worked really well for me. And so I started like buying like all these planners. Like you see all like these planners online and I had like a 10X Grant Cardone planner and the Miracle Morning and like the Perfect Planner. And I was like doing like my morning routines and using all these things. And I'm like, I need to create like my own thing that works for me that has the like go-getter aspect to it, but also kind of like the mindfulness piece and also the gratitude piece and also like the breathing exercises. It was kind of like
which are in different places.
They're like in different worlds, right? You've got like the type A grind, hustle, go make $1 trillion as fast as you can and buy the Lamborghinis. And then you've got like the really like calm meditation, mindfulness piece. And they're kind of were two different worlds.
Yeah.
So I kind of combined them initially because I had like, I remember specifically there was this one morning I was like filled out my one journal and put that journal in, then filled out another journal and did the activities and I filled it. And I'm like, I need to create kind of my own thing. And I just kind of got this intuitive feeling like this could be a business because I was kind of sharing it with other reps. Like, hey, this morning routine's working.
Well, it made you successful, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, I want to share this. That's a lot of that industry is.
Yeah. And so my initial idea was to build, I'm like, well, instead of having five planners, I'll make my own planner.
Like an actual physical
planner. Like I'm going to make a physical planner.
Like actual paper.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah.
like you buy online these planners and in your morning routine you write out. I mean, and there is something to say about,
yeah.
you know,
analog
pen and paper.
Writing it, yeah.
There is pen and paper. And I do journal pen and paper still. But I remember that, so I like kind of like created this outline of this planner.
Yeah.
And I'll show my friends and I'll show other reps and I'm like, dude, this is amazing. Like, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to start a business. Like, I'm going to start a business and we're going to go for it. And I literally, this is no joke. I was asleep one night and I had like the full moon. I was like asleep like this and I lean up and I'm like, oh, it's an app. I need to build an app for it. It makes way more sense to have an app. And so I'm like, I know nothing about app development.
Yeah.
I was going to say, here this, you know, person who just had a ton of success in sales randomly wakes up and is like, I want to build an app.
Yeah.
And
it's like the Boondock Saints or something, right?
Yeah. Well, the crazy part is I'm sure we'll speak to it, but that's like, shit, like that's completely out of your league, like kind of thing.
I knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know anyone who built an app. I didn't know anyone who had any experience in app building. I didn't know how much it cost. I didn't know anything. I'm like, okay, our app's $1,000. Are they $1 million? I have no idea. Right. Like,
which is funny because I can tell you there's probably 5,000 listeners right now that are in the exact same spot.
Yeah.
They might have woke up in the middle and I'd be like, dude, I know nothing about an app.
Yeah.
Right? So you were there.
Yeah. I was totally there. I'm like, yeah, I want to build an app. So, you know, I didn't know where to start. I have no clue. I'm not the type that like, they call them in the sales, they call them drivers. It's
yeah.
like, I'm very like, get to the point. I'm not really in the details.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what my strengths are and I know what my weaknesses are. And, one of my strengths is I feel like I have a strong network of people. And so I just got on my Facebook page and I'm like, hey, interested in building an app? Like, help, SOS, you know?
Okay.
And a buddy of mine got tagged. Actually, he wasn't a buddy at the time, but a friend kept getting tagged. He's like, hey, you need to talk to JD,
mm-hmm.
Who's now an investor in my company. But so I reached out to JD. He's like, yeah, we build apps type of thing. And it was, he's kind of at this point of his career where he was kind of looking at other industries.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of over it, you know, company, but he was kind of the guy at the time that was kind of led me in the direction. He really helped me get started. We did a brainstorming session.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, okay, let's just validate, see if we have a good app idea. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, this is what I kind of want to look like. And so we did like the, you know, on a whiteboard and kind of built it all out and kind of validated it. And he's like, yeah, I think you might have a good app idea here. And so from there, it was like, he's like, do you need help with designs? And then once again, I'm like, I'm not a designer. Right?
Like, also out of my realm.
Yeah. And I want to know one thing that I do think, you know, if I could give advice to listeners that I feel like I did do well in this experience was I got my ego out of the way.
Mm.
And I'm like, there are people who are professional designers. There are people who are professional developers. There are
yep.
people who are really good at what they do. And the way I can ruin this is if I get stuck on it being the way I think it should be when I'm not the professional.
Yep. I think it's super interesting how many people try to come to us and like slap down like a whole game plan. Like, here are the designs. Here's this, this, this. I'm like, where did this information come from?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And honestly, they're the hardest people to work with because they're so controlling. They have so much opinion. And it's like, you're no longer... you're no longer that person who needs to get everything across the finish line. You need to like look in and figure out what your strengths are and let everybody else do what they're good at.
Yeah.
Like once you start taking over a tech company, it's no longer like your focus isn't necessarily along lines of product, but it's how am I going to get users? How am I going to get traction? How am I going to get funding to build this next feature? And I think as a CEO or these new founders, they get lost in that. So focused on the product versus everything else.
Well, and it's ego, right? And
yeah.
you said a huge is like, dude, I just had to swallow my ego. And it's interesting because how many times our clients are like, listen, let us take this off your shoulders. Like do
yeah.
what you're good at,
yeah.
which is either fundraising or like pre-sales or whatever it is. Like do what you're good at and let us be good at
yeah.
what we're good at, right? And I think ego has a lot to do because
yeah.
this is your baby, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how many months did you like think about how you wanted this to look? And
yeah.
like, this is something that's very like passionate for you. It's kind of hard to like let it go and trust someone to build it.
Well, and that brings out a good question is from what in your initial brainstorm session, I'm sure you coming into that, you had a very, I would say, clear idea as to what you wanted to build.
Yeah.
How much did that change once you started
writing? It's changed so much, right? It's so much. And one thing that, you know, the advice I would give that I actually did and it ended up being a huge benefit was I told the people I work with. So first, as I was kind of like meeting with designers and devs and whatnot at the beginning, I got a really good sense of just if I personally would hire them to work for me.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of the question I asked. I'm like, would I hire this person to work in another business or in sales?
Yep.
Right. And if I would, it was like, okay, I'll probably work with this person. And so I wanted to establish trust with them.
Do I even like this person?
Yeah. Do I like them? Right.
Yeah.
And then I then told them once we kind of made that relationship, I then said, I want you to tell me push back if I have a really bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like if this is not how it works, like I want you to tell me, be like, hey, this is, I don't think you should do this.
Yeah.
Right. Versus being like, just agreeing to everything I say, because I know I'm not an expert.
Yep.
Right. This isn't my industry. And so tell me.
Yeah.
And
even if you don't
want
to hear it.
Even though I don't hear it. And there was I had an initial logo and a different color scheme and a kind of a different layout.
Mm-hmm.
And our designer was like, it's just not very user friendly and not very appealing. And
mm-hmm.
like, no, but I really, and she's like, I know, but
that's
like,
hard.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
How much shifting and talking and interviewing did you have to do before you could find this group of people who would actually like push back and help level up your idea versus saying, okay, that's possible?
So I got really lucky. So when I sat down with JD and kind of went over it with him, he was on board. And I'm like, okay, JD, I'm going. Because I had, luckily for me, I had some money saved up for my sales days
yeah.
where I
mm-hmm.
could afford to really, you know, get some going. I'm like, hey, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it the right way. So I want to work with your very, very best. And
mm-hmm.
over this point, me and JD made a really strong relationship and I trusted JD.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I only want your absolute best people working on this project.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, okay. And so he put me in touch with Lisa, who ended up
mm-hmm.
doing the designs. And I had seen her portfolio and it didn't take me very long after seeing her stuff. I'm like, oh,
she's legit.
Like this girl is legit. And
yeah.
so what I really liked about Lisa too is our first conversation, and I think this is really big, especially in design, and when it was my baby, is she kind of just interviewed to get to know me.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't like, okay, let's get into this. She
yeah,
was
let's
like,
talk about the app.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, let's get
tell me about you.
Yeah.
Tell
mm-hmm.
me what's going on. She kind of got a vibe of who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was able to kind of transition that into the design.
Yep.
And kind of brought out my personality. And that was really, really important. And I really appreciated that piece of it.
And it's not only just the hard skills of being able to design something, but those soft skills of like being able to communicate and understand
mm-hmm.
yeah.
and be able to feel this person out and kind of get their personality. Because it's weird that design brand can go so heavily into that.
Yeah.
Right? And be able to have that good relationship seems like it was a good fit for you.
Yeah. And so we come up with the name, we come up with the logo, that
mm-hmm.
that stuff's really fun. So if you're a new app founder, like that part's fun.
Yep.
The colors and the design and the logo and getting the website, that piece is fun. And,
yep.
and you know, and then things start to get serious, right? And then it's like, okay,
now what
are we doing? We're building it out and it's relatively expensive,
yeah.
right? Depending if you work with the right people, it's going to cost. And so, a cool part about my story is I just knew internally that this needed to be created
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason. And I didn't have as much validation as I probably should have.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get to this point where I'm paying, you know, my monthly payments for the design and whatnot. And it's crazy this time I'm going in debt, I'm putting a lot on my credit card. I'm just
mm-hmm.
like, I'm just going for it. Like, I'm just going to
this is
it.
The less fun part
yeah,
of it, right?
This is the less fun part. Now it's like,
it.
Cool, the design's done, the website's up. It's not, it's like, okay, a couple $1,000 bills consistently.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, this product is still pretty far away.
Yeah, you haven't even started development. You're just in the design.
We're like design, like early dev stage.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, I know I got to keep. So I just was like, you know what? This is my life. Like, this is something where if I didn't do it, I'd regret it. I'm young.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can fail big time now. It'd be a good learning for opportunity for me. And I'm like, I'm going for like all chips in the table. And that's really important because I committed to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was all in at this point. I was at a point of no return.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily no return, but I had skin in the game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that ended up changing the whole, because I was that way, that's what ended up not saving, but creating the business and I'll dive into that because what happened was we started in the dev phase And I actually initially wasn't working with Austin. I was working with another group overseas. And there's pros and cons working overseas. Very cheap, right? But we ran into a little bit of a language barrier. And I didn't... The developers I used, they took longer on the project because they weren't as skilled. So you're paying more hours. So you think the hourly rate is cheaper, but really it's not as cheap as you think because it takes them longer to do it.
Yeah.
But they're very, at least the group I worked with, and I don't want to speak for all overseas developers. We work with people in India. I know that it's really popular to work with people in Hungary too.
Mm-hmm.
They're very matter of fact. And it didn't seem like the developers were intuitive and kind of had a feel of like what it was going to be like. And because sometimes you need devs to be a little intuitive.
Yeah, forward thinking.
Forward thinking of like how the app actually works. So it's like these devs would get a list of like, okay, we need all this stuff done. And it was very matter of fact.
Just connecting the dots, basically.
Just check. And didn't seem like it was one big piece. It was more of like
bunch of pieces.
Very random pieces all together. And it wasn't like the whole puzzle. It was just like, we'll make the puzzle pieces, but they don't really sometimes all connect.
Like, unless you tell us how to put the pieces together, it doesn't work. And we had, I did an interview with somebody who ended up getting big, super large exit. And he'd worked with a ton of people overseas. He's actually even from India. And I even asked him, I was like, what makes like working with developers overseas so hard? Like, what is it? And it turns out it's just a cultural thing. Like, they're just so used to being told exactly how to do things, where to put it. And unless you're willing to like break down exactly how it should be built out and explain exactly where the puzzles or pieces fit, you typically don't end up getting what the end goal really is.
Yeah.
And so,
because they're not paid to be creative. They're not really paid to be forward thinking. They're paid to do a job.
Yeah, it's just hyper specific. It's just a cultural thing.
Yeah, and it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
That's just
And my experience wasn't negative.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of like it was kind of like we were taking one step forward and then sidestepping the kind of a back step. And it just didn't feel like it was flowing and there wasn't like a lot of energy and hype. And so it was kind of like, that's when we made the transition. And that's when the previous dev team introduced me to Austin, and then me and Austin started working together. And initially when I started working with Austin, I could tell Austin had you're so smart as far as what I appreciate about it is that like, I knew you knew what you were doing. And you would also give me insights like, hey, your Apple development thing expires this month, just a heads up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's stuff I don't even look at. Like, I'm not in the weeds. You know, it's like, hey, you need to agree to this thing and update this. And he's like, oh, by the way, there's some new cool stuff coming down the pipeline. Like, we need to be on top of like, for example, like the sign in with Apple. That's a new thing coming out. Like, just be a heads up. You know, we need to add that into your app.
Which, by the way, if there's any type of Apple updates or the Apple releases on TV, I mean, our calendar is blocked off.
Yeah.
And we're not doing anything until that's done. So Austin's very much aware of any changes that are happening, any new products that are happening. He owns them all already.
And so Austin, I mean, that's what I really love working with Austin, because you were so on top of it. You were so, I can tell you know the industry. I don't know the industry. Like, and I can tell you're passionate about it. And just the ability to respond, you're always responding to me, whether it was like midnight or 6 a.m. Austin's always on. I don't know if I want to say that, so now other
clients are like, I'm calling in the morning.
And I think the one takeaway from that is like, when I commit to something, like I'm bought in. You're like, by the time I choose to make an engagement with you, and 100%, like we work together, it's a choice.
Yeah.
Like I'm 100% bought in on your idea, and I want to really create something cool.
Yeah.
And that's what I really liked about working with you, is we'd go to these lunches and it wasn't just like, hey, when's this feature out? But it was like, Doug, like, what are your long-term goals with this? Where are we going to take it? What can we do to help me have like a better path of just a better idea of where we could take the product and offer ideas with that?
Yeah. And I think that's important to know too, because when I was building Daily Shifts, I knew I wasn't building an app company. I knew it was going to be way bigger and I couldn't predict it and I didn't know what it was going to turn into, but I knew that the app needed to be birthed. And what ended up happening, which is really cool, is Austin starts working on it and it's going super smooth, and we release the first, what's the beta version, but
test flight.
Test flight. The first test flight version, right? Like that's how I dealt like Tesla. Like that's how yeah, not tech. Like,
I saw a version of it.
There was like this weird. There was like an app, but it wasn't the app store. It was a different app store, and it was yeah. You know, anyways. So when the first test flight version comes out, and kind of loop back to what I was saying earlier. So this is a true story, and I talk about it in my upcoming book, and we'll dive into my book here too. But I'm at this point where it's been, at this point, I'm probably from that initial meeting with JD mm-hmm. to the test flight version, it's probably been 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Long time.
And I've squandered a lot of all my money type of thing. And I wasn't in the best place personally, but I knew I needed to create this thing. And I remember there was a bill. It was like maybe 20 grand or something. I was like, how much to finish this out? And they'd be like, ballparkish, 20 grand-ish, whatnot to finish. And I had like $7,000 in my name. And I'm like,
that's a moment.
Yeah, I had a moment. And it was fascinating. I'll never forget this either for the rest of my life. I was meditating. I'm a big meditator. And I was meditating I have like this little shrine in my bedroom with a little Buddha, like all the weird people do. And I'm one of those guys. And so I'm meditating. And I meditate with a blindfold on, which is also weird because I like to like see how deep I can go.
Yeah.
And I have like this urge where it's like, hey, you need to go back down to Utah County, in my old place of work, where I had a lot of mentors. And I hadn't been down there for months.
Was this with Vivint, right?
With Vivint,
yeah.
At Vivint, where I had a lot of mentors. And I hadn't been there in months. I kind of walked away from Vivint. And I'm like, cool, when I'm done meditating, I'll go. And it's like, no, you need to go right now. And I'm like, I have no plans. I don't know what's going on. Like, maybe I'll run into a friend for lunch. So I stop, I drive down there. So I go upstairs and I see three of my mentors who I worked with for 10 years, all in a room by themselves. And they see me in the hall and they wave me in. And they're like, Doug, what's going on? What have you been doing? Like, we heard you're like building an app or something. Like, what's going on? And I had the test flight version. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, here it is. And I show it to them and they start playing with it. They're like, dude, this is amazing. Like, this is so needed in our industry. And they're like, and then one of them asked me a question that they'd never asked before. Like, how much would you sell your whole app for right now? I'm like, $2 million. And he's like, cool, will you let us three buy in at 15%?
Whoa, just like that?
And it was that. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. You know, and you know, we kind of went back and forth for maybe an hour or two.
Yeah.
But that day, handshake deal, and I had money in my account within a week.
Dude,
and you know, the doc signed, and I had enough money not only to finish out the app, but then really take it to the next level
mm-hmm.
of, you know, building out my course and a media company and my social media presence and, you know, and started working on my coaching program as well. But the main lesson in it was I was committed. If I just was like, hey, I have an idea for an app.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I'm not getting funding, right? But because I was committed and I had a physical app that worked on test flight and I was able to show them like, hey, I'm all in.
Yeah.
And I've already put in, you know, $40,000 of my own money at this point, right? I'm all in, right? It created confidence in my investors.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so how many times like, oh, I have an idea for an app. You're not getting funding.
Yep.
For an idea.
People are like, oh, it's a good idea. Yeah. But what data do you have? And it comes down, it's funny. We had a conversation just 2-3 days ago, that was the guy who said, he's like, I need to decide how committed are you?
Yeah.
He's like, are you saying, am I a entrepreneur or an entrepreneur?
Mm.
He's like, honestly, I'm a entrepreneur.
No, I literally hit him pretty hard. Okay. I was like, are you like in on this or are you really in on this?
Yep.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I'm a entrepreneur. I just kind of want to do this on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
it won't work.
Right.
Won't work.
And that's like the best piece of advice that our listeners can hear is like,
dude,
commit.
Yeah.
It comes down to it. Like, if you really do believe in this idea. And the other thing that we have found working with our clients is we do a series of validation for them
mm-hmm.
where we'll go out and send surveys. And it's interesting to see as these surveys come back and they start seeing that other people actually want this,
mm-hmm.
they suddenly get committed and they're like ready to go because they have that data. And then also when it comes to it, once they know people want that app, they have the data, they can show that to someone else. Kind of like you did with that. Be like, listen, there's a product market need here.
Yeah.
I'm in. And people are like, they sense that, they know that.
Yeah.
And that's like huge.
I mean, we sat and did tons of conversations with people who've raised, you know, tens of millions of dollars in funding for their companies. And literally the first thing they say, or the VCs are looking for, like, how bought in are you?
Yep.
It's super funny story with someone we were talking to. It's like, this guy walked in, told me he had a HELOC on his house, and I instantly knew that like I was going to invest because he was going to either go all in or lose it all. Like, and I think the commitment level that you have to have when you're building not just an app but any company, like it's got to be there.
Yeah, and that's the only reason I got, the only reason I'm sitting here today is because I took that initial jump and got committed. Because if I didn't have a test flight app and that conversation, like I'm not raising the money. And then that money, not only did it finish the app, but it created a whole entire branch of my business that I wouldn't have expected.
Yeah.
Right. And one thing that I feel like I did well is I got out of my own way, you know, with that. And I let the people who are experts do what they need to do. I'm not an app developer. I'm not a designer. I'm not a marketer. I'm not a survey guy, but there are a lot of people out in the industry who are really good at it, right? And so it's trusting those people that they will do their job. Even though it's scary, like this is my baby. And it's literally like, I don't know this dude. He could delete my code. Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's like, no, Austin's a good dude. And I have a good relationship with him. And it's like, no, he's, and I could just tell, you know, working with you guys, it was awesome. And so, no, the app would not be here where it is today without you guys.
Austin, I kind of want you to jump in because this is a little bit different than we normally do. We didn't go from A to Z here. We didn't really do the designs. You kind of jumped into mid-process, would you say? And tell me about right when you met Doug and kind of how you took the reins from there and kind of stepped in and helped.
So initially, like going in, I guarantee the very first conversation that I had with Doug and everybody that I jumped in was jumping in with was, your app's going to be one or two spots, and it's either going to be to a point where there's like, you're going to have to reinvest to get it to where it needs to go, or we're going to be able to keep on running. And
that's a hard conversation.
No, it's a super hard,
especially for a founder to hear that, be like, wait, you're telling me I'm going to have to scrap everything I have, or can you save it?
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, you want the right answer.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think it's always hard to have this conversation because going back, the very first thing is trust. And when I come in, and I'm always a bad guy, when I come in, I'm like, hey, I may have to rebuild your entire product. I feel like they instantly look at me and they're like,
This guy's trying to just get money from me. He's just trying to restart.
And it's like, I'm like, and it's always interesting because when I'm having these conversations, I'm just explaining that, like, if we continue with what's already there, you're really just only hurting yourself versus having to build something new. But in this specific case, Doug's product was actually in a pretty good spot.
Really? Yeah. When you got it, it actually was in a good
situation. Yeah, I mean, obviously, and this is a funny thing, and everybody should know this. When I go and look at somebody's code and like review it, all of those opinions are subjective. And every single developer that goes and reviews your code is a subjective opinion because there is a million different ways to do something.
Yep.
And so, yes.
There's not like a standard way that all code should look and all apps are built.
Yep.
Really, it's just kind of all over the place.
I mean, there is a specific set of rules, but in general, like there's a lot of ways to create rules for a product.
Yeah, I would say this is more of a creative thing rather than an actual science.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's definitely more than one way to skin the cat. And I mean, there were definitely things that I didn't love about the product, but there were things that we could like push through and it would still scale. Now, going into the future where there were things, I think there were things put into place that made it hard to make specific pivots, but overall,
because it wasn't written or designed to scale, right?
Yeah.
Or and forward thinking, kind of like you said.
Really, it's just the forward thinking piece. And the reason the developer did it was for a good reason.
Yeah.
So to really get technical, the way that it was built, it was built very opinionated. And by having an opinionated piece of software makes it really hard for things to do things outside of the set of rules that you create, which is a good thing. And when you're working with teams overseas, having those constraints are good. But to build a new feature takes 3 weeks instead of one week.
I was going to say, because you have to get outside of that.
Yeah, you've got to build all these extra layers to make sure it's something like that's possible. Now, I mean, there are pros and cons to how you can do that, and we don't really need to dive into it.
Yeah.
But long story short, diving into this product, it was in a really good spot. And from there, I would say the hardest piece was continuing to understand where Doug wanted to take the product, but then to keep... Because I wasn't just coming in to finish the app. I was coming in to finish the app, continue leading, you know, this app among other apps that were being developed, and continue working with the team that was already on the product, and take it where needed to go. And so I was basically just thrown into the deep end.
Yeah.
And literally I called Doug, I'm like, hey, when do you want this out? And I'm pretty sure I think you had already had time commitments for certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just, you know, working super crazy long hours with all these people to try and get it across the finish line.
So you felt you're a little out of your depth, to be honest.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, she had you fooled, yeah, apparently, because, yeah, you felt like he knew exactly what
I felt. Hey, I was super confident. I was like, yeah, I was just like, yeah, I think we can get it done. And I'm like, sweet, go for it. And I was like, that was it for me.
Yeah.
Because my part was, and I'm not in the details. So.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's always that fine line of like, what do you tell the clients? What do you not tell the clients, kind of thing. But it was a lot, and I had definitely a lot of opportunity to grow and have a bunch of fun with it. And I came in and I was building features, doing all these things. I remember I was also still knocking doors.
Mm.
So I was doing I was getting up at like 6, going to Starbucks, working for like 5 hours, then knocking doors for the rest of the day, taking a break, like finishing code. And it was a super fun opportunity until the end of the summer where I just got to keep working on it. But yeah, getting the product from where it was to out, there were hurdles, but it was more of just getting familiar with the code base.
Yeah.
And that's like the really hard thing. And I think every founder needs to understand that when you do commit to a development shop, you are hurting yourself if you don't just stick it out with them until the product's done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which it's, I mean, how many times do people be like, yeah, I got a version of my app that's a few years old that was developed in this other place. And we like dive into the code and it's just like, oh man.
I'm like, you were 100% better off staying with that company,
yeah,
getting product market fit, raising around and rebuilding it.
Yeah. 100%. And then just scrapping it and using that as a design.
Yeah.
Right. Did you ever run into any huge technical, and Doug, you can answer this too. Like, did you guys ever hit a point where it's just like, this was a hard obstacle?
So a lot of the amazing things about the app, I would say, are from an aesthetics and like animations point of view. And so we have a lot of custom, you know, animations built into the app. And I would say that's one of the hardest parts about your app is whenever you come at us with these fancy gradients or these new things you want to build, it's all custom.
Which is all,
it's all very custom,
yeah,
right? And that was like one of the hardest things to do is to really just put the time in and to build those animations. It's very tedious. And then, I mean, taking something and spending a bunch of time on it and giving it to Doug, like, I mean, it's meditation. Like, this is self-help. And so we were really trying to not just hit that good enough mark. We're trying to hit something that really brings value and like really creates a difference from the sounds to
the
gradients to the experience. And we spent a lot of time just making sure that went well.
Yeah. And yeah, I think it seemed like, from my point of view, that you guys did a really good job and I appreciated the extra care in it because I did realize, you know, some of the stuff with like the animations and the, you know,
you might
breathing exercises.
So much that was...
Yeah. It seemed like the response was like, yeah, it's going to be difficult. And there was a couple times when I would ask things and I didn't tell us to you, but I'm like, they might say no on this, but I'm like, yeah, I want this done kind of like an assumptive. And they're like, yeah, we can do that. And I'm like, phew. Yeah,
it's possible.
It's possible. Like, okay, cool.
And soon Austin goes.
So I'm like, yeah, it's possible. We'll get it built.
Yeah.
Do you want to kind of continue on with that?
No, I think really a lot of like the other hard things. I mean, there were some hard things around like time zones and like just when do we want to reset? Like we played around with that for a long time until we hit a good spot. But all in all, the product isn't necessarily super complex, but like just the time that we had to spend creating like the custom user experience and animation.
Experience is really where the value
it
is.
It was pretty tough. So yeah.
Yeah. And let me ask one more question before we get into that. I do want to ask one more question. Also, I want you to talk about, do you ever remember having a hard conversation with Doug?
Honestly.
Or just like, you know, you don't have good news and I don't know if that ever happened in the situation. If no, then great. We can move on, but I'm just curious if there was like a situation where like, man, I don't have great news for you.
I can think of a couple conversations, and it was more of like when we were rolling out a new onboarding process with new designs that included a better user experience when they first download the app, and I, you know, we had a new paywall and whatnot, and I'm trying to remember exactly what it was, but I remember where I was. I was walking around Lady Bird Lake in Austin, Texas, and I was on the phone with you, and I was pissed at you for whatever reason. I was upset, and it was
which is healthy,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah,
that's part of the
it
relationship.
It wasn't like, oh, I'm going to end this relationship. It was just like a normal business, like, yeah, like misunderstanding at one point. And if I can't remember what it was about, but I remember it was having to do with the onboarding, and I think there was something that was out of order or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And the paywall didn't hit it a certain way, and there was just a misunderstanding. And I was just, and I think what happened, I think the reason why I was frustrated is because I was so used to you always nailing it and like getting it right that when you didn't, I'm like, dude, why are you like,
what the hell?
Why are you shorting me? Like, why are you shorting me? I feel like you're shorting me, you know? And then another thing too, the only other thing that I would get that I felt a difficult conversation was about was there was a billing thing when you were like, hey, you know, I did all this, it's this much money. And I'm like, wait, how was doing just these simple things, how did it cost that many hours? And it didn't make sense to me. And then when you broke it down, he was like, no, we actually have to go way deep into every single shift and break it down so they all connect. And that made more sense. But I remember initially that conversation, I was like, wait, that's way too expensive because it's just like, all it is one screen. Like, how could it be that expensive?
For people like us, it's like, why?
Yeah.
But yet it was way more complicated. Do you remember those conversations a little bit?
Yeah, I remember specifically the one on the onboarding one.
Yeah.
And that one was like, it was tough because we were changing the subscription model and there was a lot going on with it. I remember that conversation and really like, I think just like every conversation is like, how can we go in and like make this right? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah.
And it was definitely one of the harder conversations because that literally was like the first time that we've ever had any kind of like scuffle with anything.
Yeah.
And it was kind of fun.
I think that's hilarious.
Yeah. We were frustrated. I was frustrated for a little bit, but we fixed it.
I mean, how many times in building a business have you been frustrated?
Yeah. I mean, of course it's part of the process, right? It wasn't a personal thing.
Yeah.
I was frustrated. And then I think it was fixed by the next day. So it wasn't even a thing.
Which I feel like is really important for our listeners to kind of like understand, like, listen, there's got to be communications. There's going to be miscommunications. There's going to be missing the marks, missing the deadlines. But it's like working through that and
that was another thing I feel like I did well too is I managed my expectations initially at the front end because it's like I know that like I think it was my mom who told me that she's like in regards she said building a house she's like it's going to cost 20% more. It's going to take twice as long.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've always kind of been talking about it's going to probably be a little bit more than I initially expected. It's going to take longer than I expected. And so I kind of went in with that expectation. So I never got frustrated in regards to pushed out deadlines or higher costs necessarily because it was kind of already like
assumed
that that's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny how many times we've heard the analogy of building a house, right?
Yeah.
It's very similar. Let's kind of talk about like something that you thought was super simple, like changing the color or, you know, changing a certain onboarding flow. Sometimes it's not as simple, right? It really comes down to being lots of hours. And people who are not technical are just like, how do we understand that? Like, what expectations should we have?
Yeah, and really though, specifically like with the onboarding thing, like the reason that was so hard is again, like the way that the app was architected and built, like there were a lot of like pieces that you had to like dig under and change. It wasn't like, hey, let's throw this image here and this font here. We were completely changing the order of how the app flowed. And so there were a lot of fundamental changes that had to be made. And when you're doing something like, because if you download the Data Shift app, you're gonna see it's got a very robust like onboarding flow. Mm-hmm. And to go and modify that is just a lot of work, and you'll see why when you go through it.
Yeah. Doug, how about you talk about that on your end of it? Like, do you feel like Austin communicated? Is it better that could Austin have communicated that up front better, or do you feel like the way that he was able to explain, like, hey, things can be more difficult? Tell us like that thought process for you.
You know, it's probably not a look back. It's probably more on me just because I was dealing with other aspects of my business.
Yeah.
And so in my head, it's like Austin's always been great. It's like, hey, I want to change one of these screens. And I just was kind of caught up in my other business stuff. And so when it was like, hey, it's taking way longer and it's more expensive, there was like just frustration on my end. And it was probably just because, you know, I didn't fully understand what was going on with it. But, you know, like I said, it was an easy fix and it was something that was fixed. And now that, like, especially now having this conversation now, I'm like, oh, that actually makes more sense.
Yeah.
It's all flow.
It's like,
I was probably in the wrong with that, you know?
Well, and I think it's really important for our listeners to know that this experience right here that we're talking about is incredibly common.
Yeah.
A lot of times we'll assume something. Even Austin as a developer, how many times have we assumed that something would be easy? And once we actually got into the dirt of it and like got in deep, this isn't as easy. Taxes should be easy and they're not, you know?
Yeah, and it's literally some things you just don't know until you get into it. And it's like I think this conversation's fun because it's like we expose there are things that are either like inefficient or wrong, but like you have to understand like they're in everything that you build, there's something that's going to go the wrong way or something that wasn't thought through completely. And I think you've got to really embrace it and lean into it. And specifically that thing, it's you really just don't know. And that's why I just hate giving quotes. Yeah. Right now I give people outrageous quotes just because I don't know what's going to come up.
Like, how much is it? 2 million. I haven't even told you what it is.
I don't care. Like,
and it's just because, like, I want to, like, all I try and do is, again, is, like, I'm just as bought in to you as you're bought into me. And my ultimate goal is to put as much effort and energy to come to create, like, a perfect product and, like,
within the budget that you give us.
Within the budget. And sometimes, yeah, like, that's not possible. And sometimes, yeah, that conversation, like, sucks. But I think with every person in every situation that we've had, we've come up with a way that's worked. And maybe we weren't jumping up and down happy,
yeah,
but we both got, like, a good end result.
Well, and I almost kind of want to transition the conversation a little bit more positive. Let's talk a little bit about features in the app and some of the things that you were just so stoked about the way they turned out. And what are some of the most features that you were, like, most excited about and, like, the way they worked or was exciting to build? So let's start with Austin. Yeah. So let's talk about some of the features that was fun for you to build and like, why it was so kind of rewarding for you.
So I really like data.
All right, next.
And so I think one of the coolest things about your app is, like, unlike a journal, like, in 5 years, like, the chance of that journal frailing or getting lost or something going wrong, like, I would say probability-wise is pretty high. And so being able to go back through, like, we have all this information of you. You've gone in. There are users now who have been using the product for 2 or 3 years, and they can go in and look at themselves 2 years ago and see all the things they were grateful for, all the things that made them happy.
And how perspective has changed.
Yeah. And over the year. And I think that's, like, that was a super, super fun feature to build, was just, like, that historical data section. Mm-hmm. Just because I know that me 2 years ago had a completely different view and was grateful for completely different things than I am now. And I know that I probably changed my priorities. And so I think,
yeah,
I think that
track
was,
that data was, like, super rewarding.
Yeah. And I think that's, like, just a super awesome feature that I personally enjoyed building. But then outside of that, I really, like, again, we really spent a lot of time just on the gradients and the animations. And I mean, just the way that, you know, clicking on a card, quickly saying what you're grateful for, sliding over to the next thing, like, those are fun, not easy to build,
yeah,
but, like, it creates a whole different user experience. And so I would say overall, my favorite features around the app are around, like, the historical data, the transitions, as well as just, like, the user experience around the app.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you, Doug?
Yeah, no, for me, it's just, I know when I wake up, do a little breathing exercise, write down what I'm grateful for, do a meditation. And I was super grateful by one of my spiritual teachers, her name is Biet. She's got an incredible voice. She did some meditations for us that are really quick. Cause it's like this app is for people that are, like, maybe not haven't meditated before or never had a gratitude practice that aren't really have a healthy, mindful routine.
Mm-hmm.
And so we implemented, I think there's probably 10 guided meditations from her that are all under 2 minutes. Right. Cause so many people are like, I don't have time to stand for meditate for 20 minutes. And they're all emotion based,
mm-hmm,
these meditations. So it's like, if I'm feeling anxious or overwhelmed or scared or frustrated,
angry, yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. There's a meditation for you to kind of, she'll kind of, like, walk you through. It's almost like a little life coach in your pocket.
Almost like a little recheck.
Yeah. It's like, and it's 2 minutes,
yeah,
you know, so you can plug it in, you do a quick breathing, kind of get realigned. And so those are the ones I use the most every day. And I love the nightly check-ins as well.
Yeah.
You know, what were 3 happy moments today? And I think just living in an attitude of gratitude,
yep,
right, really changes not only your personal relationships, but the way you show up at work as well and at home. And so the shift, it's just a simple shift. It's the daily shift to bring you back to alignment. So you get notified morning, afternoon, and night. And to do each round, a full round of morning, you know, you get that done in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Afternoon, 2 minutes.
Everybody can find
it. And everyone can find that. And then also, you know, you have that piece. It's been one of the most impactful activities of my life is my daily goal setting.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a section in there to put in your goals financially, physically, mentally, spiritually. And you have a chance to review those every single night. So your goals are fresh on your mind every single day,
yeah,
gets you moving in the right direction.
Top of mind.
Yeah.
Which is a great transition, is kind of the direction I want to go, is let's talk about your business and where it's at.
Yeah.
And it was started as this app.
Yeah.
And we're beyond that.
Yeah.
I think you're too deep now.
Yeah, we're way past the app.
Yeah. So let's talk about how building this app and being fully committed,
yeah,
has brought you to where you're at today, and what are you doing today?
Yeah, so the app, really, now that I look back at it, and I've got big plans for the app, and there's changes and updates I want to make. I've got a really cool vision of what I think it could really be, and I plan on moving forward with that. I love where it's at today, but I'm always, and how can we make it better?
Yeah.
it's, with that being said,
we're going to have to re-scrap everything and start over.
Yeah, eventually
we'll have that conversation.
We'll have that conversation. But what the app did is it gave me credibility.
Yeah.
Right? And it gave me confidence, and the app was successful, and we had a successful launch, and we have lots of users who use it and subscribers, and it subconsciously like validated my mission and my purpose. And it made me feel like, okay, I'm not a wannabe entrepreneur. I'm an actual, a true entrepreneur now. And it validated me in that sense and gave me the confidence to step into these other roles of getting a coaching business and having an online course and doing the webinars and having a media company with content and a strong social media presence. And now I've got, you know, my business was going to be app. It's like now my main business is, you know, working with people one-on-one and private clients and
helping people.
Yeah. And then because how creative meeting we can get into my personal story is absolutely bonkers. Like you thought me meditating and then raising hundreds of thousands of dollars in one meeting was crazy. Like I have way crazier stories. And because I was this app entrepreneur and app founder, I then got a book deal because of it all. And in this book, I tell all of my crazy stories, and it's called Holy Shit, We're Alive, the book. Comes out August 10th. You can buy it on thedailyshifts.com or on Amazon. And it's kind of my story of going from a really successful salesman and blowing a lot of money, becoming an entrepreneur, and then kind of dealing with, like, we've all had traumatic experiences in our life. I was sexually abused as a kid. My dad died in my 20s. I had my heart broken. I had suicidal thoughts at one point in my life. And, you know, kind of this journey of finding a higher purpose and sharing that with the world. And so I'm really excited to share my book and my app with everyone. So
just tell us the name of the book again.
Holy Shit, We're Alive.
Holy Shit, We're Alive.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
And tell us, I guess, in closing here, I know there's a lot. We've covered a ton.
Yeah.
If you could have one thing to tell Doug.
Yeah.
3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
What would you tell him?
Holy shit, we're alive. I would say basically what I did. I'd say do it and do it now. Like you have an idea for an app, do it.
Yep.
Like go do it now. The perfect time is never going to come. Right? It's never going to be like, okay, I'm ready to do this app, especially when you're in your idea phase.
Yeah.
The only way you learn is by doing. And it's like, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
We're all hurling to our death every moment, right? You're going to die. So it's like, go do the things you want to do in your life before you die. And so if building an app's one of them, it's the timing never comes. So do it now.
Yeah. So for those listeners, I expect a phone call in about 20 minutes from listening to this right now, because commit, because that's really, and I mean, I think we're always looking for permission.
Yeah.
We're always looking for a reason not to.
And on that note, I respond to every one of my DMs on Instagram. So if anyone listening is like, wants more questions about my process, @Doug_Cartwright. If you DM me, I DM everyone back.
That's So how do we find you?
Yeah.
The Daily Shifts.
The Daily Shifts.
Yep. You can find that in the App Store.
Yep.
Tell me, what was your Instagram?
@Doug_Cartwright.
Okay.
That's my name.
How do we find it? Well, again, LinkedIn?
I don't do LinkedIn.
Don't worry.
That's not my world.
That's too boring.
It's not my world. But yeah. Instagram is my main source of contact. So.
And your book will be on Amazon?
Amazon and on my website.
And on your website.
Daily Shifts. Yeah.
Daily Shifts.
And the launch date is August 10th. You can actually pre-order it. I don't know when this podcast can come out, but you can pre-order it now on thedailyshifts.com.
If you want to find out more about Doug's app and his new book, head over to thedailyshifts.com.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you found it useful, it would really help us if you shared it with a friend. Just take a quick second to text it or to DM it to someone who would also love this. It would seriously make our entire day. Also, if you want to go deeper, we have full-length videos of all of our episodes, show notes, and a lot more at strides.dev. There's no .com at the end of that. You literally just type strides.dev in your browser.
What else? Well, if you're looking to build an app, we want to talk to you. You can book your free strategy call and talk about your app with a pro at strides.dev. You can also sign up for our newsletters that gives you the ins and outs of what's going on. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.